Warning, this episode contains explicit content. Please proceed with caution. What's up, everyone, and welcome to Whiskey Sex Talk. I am your host, Romeo. And joining us again here is Dr. Davidson. Dr. Davidson, welcome back.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
It's great to have you, and I'm glad that you're taking your time actually to join us today to actually talk about safety and consent.
Yes, consent is an important aspect of safety.
Indeed it is, and I'm just going to get started here. And can you tell us what is consent and why is it important?
Well, consent is permission. And it's really important when we're talking about sexual relationships because we want to protect people both physically and emotionally. So we don't want anyone to feel subjected or to be subjected to something that they have not fully consented to. And sometimes consent can seem like a really gray area because we communicate not just with our words, but also with our body language and our facial expressions. And sometimes that can be misunderstood or misinterpreted.
I'm glad you actually mentioned that because, you know, for the most part, when it comes to consent, I feel like a lot of us understand the verbal aspect, which in my opinion, I feel it's the safest form because it's the clearest form we can let the other person know whether we want to or whether we don't want to have sexual relations with that person. However, I do want to say and comment that when it comes to physical consent, that is a little bit trickier because not everyone understands like physical communication. Ironically, sex is a physical type of communication. That's what I find kind of here the interesting part about physical consent, because sex is physical, but there are people that cannot seem to understand physical consent. In other words, what I'm trying to say, when it comes to consent, we just rely on the verbal aspect. And sometimes not a lot of people can take those type of cues where they understand what the body language of the other person is indicating.
Right. Well, most sex that happens around the world is not really discussed verbally. Right. It might be talked about at some point, but it really gets negotiated more through nonverbal interaction. Mm-hmm. And these are just, you know, some of the typical ways that people interact with each other or behave with each other when they are physically attracted to each other. And so, you know, it can be as simple as one person grabs the other one's hand. And if that's not resisted, then that's perceived as a yes. And, you know, perhaps it is a yes. Most often it is. But sometimes it isn't resisted because the other person might be fearful of resisting or saying, no, I'm not interested. And that's an example of how it can be confused sometimes with the body language. So one person makes a move toward, the other either reciprocates that or they don't resist it. And that's how the ball gets rolling.
Okay. So what's the difference between explicit and implicit consent?
Well, implicit consent means that consent is implied. And the best example of that is a couple who had been together for a while. Maybe they live together. Maybe they're even married. And because they really think of each other as family, they feel permission to initiate physical contact with each other whenever they want it. So they're no longer having these discussions about, is it okay if I do this? Can I touch you here? Are you open to engaging in this kind of sexual activity? Because they know each other really well. And because of that, consent is implied. It's implicit. Explicit consent is more detailed. And this is important in new relationships or certainly first dates, where we are having a discussion about what's okay, what's not okay. We're asking for permission. When we talk about consent now, certainly when I do workshops on consent, I talk about the importance of the really explicit consent and getting very detailed, certainly early on in relationships. But when we've been in a relationship with someone for a while, this seems irrelevant. It seems like it's not important. We still need to be mindful that the other person has a right to say no or resist or change their mind. But that very explicit and detailed consent sometimes is not considered to be very sexy because, maybe we want the other person to just initiate contact with us if they want to kiss or hold our hand or to have sex with us.
I mean, I'm glad you actually said you mentioned this, because I had this conversation with my season 4 co-host, Maria, because we had this conversation off air about consent. And I remember her saying that she's like, I'm an old fashioned girl and I want guys to behave the way that guys are. I like that. I like the chivalry. I like all that aspect. But I don't want someone asking me, hey, is it okay? Can I kiss you? It's so weird. And that's the thing. It really puts you in a weird position that you actually have to go and literally just be like, hey, is it okay? And even me myself, I remember I've had those situations where I've had individuals ask me, hey, is it okay for this and that? And it is weird. Let's just be honest. It's weird. But I mean, we have to have this conversation, and we have to thank those people for at least having the courage to be mindful of such things. This is one of those things where it's kind of like it's a goofy thing, but it's a serious thing. You have to ask, and even though it might be like not sexy or not cute to be asking this, the fact that that person took that time or was conscious of that is really ballsy to be exact, because any other guy or any other person would just go for it and just not ask and just do it. Now, this leads me up to my next question, which is consent more important for men or women? Because I feel there's a huge pressure on men.
Well, I think consent is important for both. But generally, when we talk about consent, it is skewed more toward protecting women and less toward protecting men. And men also need to be protected physically and emotionally. But culturally, we talk a lot about consent for the protection of women. Something that's true about male sexuality is, and this is true across the globe, and it's true throughout the history of humanity, is male sexuality is innately more predatory. Mm-hmm. And so men are more accustomed to just going after what they want sexually. Women around the world tend to be more safety officers and gatekeepers around sexuality. And it's because when we're talking about sex between men and women, she is physically more vulnerable than he is. She's vulnerable because of her risk of pregnancy, whether it's wanted or unwanted. She's vulnerable because usually she's going to be in smaller stature or less weight than him. There's greater risk of her being overpowered and subjected to something that she didn't want. And so much of our conversations are really focused around protecting women. But we also need to be mindful that men need to be protected too,
right?
Not just from other men, but also from women. Because I've worked with many men who are survivors of sexual assault, sexual abuse in childhood, even adulthood, and that has happened with female predators.
I mean, look at romantic comedies. If you look at romantic comedies, the woman protagonist, she tends to have the manizer female friend. Who is she? She is the woman that is a little bit more aggressive with men. She tells the protagonist, you got to do A, B, and C to get, you know, this out of it. She, if you look at the films, the manizer woman, what's interesting about this character in films, specifically in romantic comedies, is that she doesn't ask permission when it comes to having her ways with men. And the reason why I'm using romantic comedies and why I'm actually specifically talking about the manizer character is because when you look at it, it almost seems that in Western culture, it seems as if we are being told that women do not need consent from men. And my question to you, Dr. Davidson, is do women need consent from men?
I would say yes. And men generally don't feel like they need to give that consent. But sometimes they discover after the fact that they responded differently because they were not allowed to give consent. So, you know, sometimes I work with men who are experiencing erectile dysfunction because of performance anxiety. And that first originated when a female, a woman that, you know, maybe someone they were on a date with, maybe someone they knew socially, approached them and made sexual advances toward them that they did not want or they weren't prepared for, they weren't expecting. It was unwelcomed. And because of that, they had a fear response to it. And when we are in an experience of anxiety or fear, we don't experience that as sexy. And so often we don't have physical arousal. And for some men, that is the onset of their erectile dysfunction related to performance anxiety.
You would think that the physical arousal is only an issue that women experience. And why am I saying this? Because women, in order for women to feel physically aroused, they actually need to feel safe. And Dr. Davidson, what you're saying here is that the example you just gave us about the guy who was in a situation where the woman made advances and then he didn't feel physically aroused and felt more intimidated. And you wouldn't assume that that would be the case for men as well.
Well, I think that we are living in a time where our thoughts around gender and sexuality are evolving. And men get lots of mixed messages around who we are supposed to be as sexual creatures. So as I said earlier, we are innately more predatory sexually than women. That's just part of how we're designed biologically. But our culture is talking a lot about women's rights, about consent, about men being respectful of women. And so we, you know, our mothers, our fathers are raising boys today to be more aware of our innate drives and how we treat women with respect. But on the other hand, we have actual situations, just like what you talked about earlier, where women are saying, I want the more traditional kind of male behavior. Right. I don't want a guy who's always asking if it's okay to kiss me or if he can put his arm around me. Because that interferes with me feeling desirable and sexy. And so men sometimes feel like they don't know what to do. They don't really know who they are in the sexual relationship anymore. They've been told one thing, but then now they're hearing something else. And women have more freedom today to be assertive with their sexuality. And so women are doing to men what they've experienced men doing to them. And men are having to stop and think, well, wait a minute, what's it like for me to be on the end of this when another person is just asserting themselves with me sexually when maybe I'm not in the mood, I'm not thinking about it, I'm not ready for it. What does that say about me as a man? Am I supposed to always be in the mood and always ready for it when the opportunity presents. So this is why it's important that we have this discussion. It is an important discussion about safety, but it's also an opportunity for people to just become better educated about sexuality, their biological response, their physiological response, but also how they respond psychologically when they are in sexual situations.
Now, let's talk about biological response. Let's say if someone is aroused, does that mean you have consent?
No, and that's a really good question, because, you know, in working with sex abuse survivors, certainly those who were abused in childhood or adolescence, sometimes their body does respond to the touch because it feels pleasurable to the body, even if it might not feel exciting emotionally or psychologically. And so sometimes people feel betrayed by their body. My body responded to it. I had an erection, even though it was something that I didn't want. And so, no, that's why we can't rely just on the nonverbal communication. We also have to have some discussions about what's allowed, what's acceptable, and what's appropriate.
I just want to mention that video we talked about. So I want to come clean, ladies and gentlemen. I really just want to say something. So we had initially recorded this episode like 2 weeks ago, and I took us everywhere. It was a hot mess, and Dr. Davidson was so kind enough to come back because I felt that that episode was just a total mess. But in that episode, we mentioned about there's a video out there. It's explaining safety and consent, and the video is about what's the best way to understand safety and consent, and they use the whole concept of like you offer someone tea, and that person might say no, and there are times that person might say yes, and while you go prepare the tea, you bring it back, that person might say, you know what, I don't want the tea anymore, and that doesn't mean that you have to get upset. That because you offer the tea does not imply that you need to be forcing the tea on that person. And it's a beautiful video, and I encourage people to Google it. I'll probably put it in the footnote of this episode. But it's really, really a very clear way of understanding. And my favorite part of this video was where it says that like you might offer the person tea and then they drink the tea and then they pass out from the tea. And that does not mean that you continue giving them tea. The whole point of it, it's a very funny and entertaining, but really, really insightful way of educating us on safety and consent. And it's funny because the word tea is used in pop culture to mean gossip, but here is in this way is for safety and consent.
And I agree with you. It's an excellent video. It's a great way to explore the subject of consent. In a way that makes it more tolerable for some people and also very simple to understand.
I guess why am I bringing this up is, you know, this whole safety and consent, when you're in relationships, sometimes you can take all of this stuff for granted and you forget, oh, you need to have certain conversations with the individual, the person you're dating or the person you're starting to get to know. And look, it's not black and white. It's very, very, it can be very, very confusing. Honestly, I can say this with certainty. We're all human beings and it can be very, very confusing. And look, I mentioned it earlier on the show. I talked about my friend Maria saying that she doesn't want someone who's going to ask because that's just, it's such a turnoff. There's ways we can go about it and really definitely have that conversation. We're such creative creatures. Like, listen, it's no different than flirting. You could just find a way of having this conversation, but not having the conversation is totally wrong. And I think these things, we have to be really honest. I believe, just like I always say, like, people should be sexually honest with each other. I think this is another thing too. We should be really, really having these safety and consent conversations. As uncomfortable as they may be, this is just the adult thing to do, or the most, I don't want to say adult, the responsible thing to do. Because when we're getting to know people and at the beginning of a relationship, like, we don't know people's like past trauma, childhood trauma. We don't know what they've gone through. We don't know. And to assume that that person wants sex or they're consenting to something is just outright wrong. And I think that is what is the problem is like, and you've mentioned this, Dr. Davidson, that we as at least in America, we haven't had a proper sexual, like sex ed education to tell us like these things, how to go about them. We have to figure this out. Some people have to go through the trial and error, and sometimes that just ends up and puts people in terrible positions. Others just by learning and by educating themselves. But the truth is that I think the information is out there. Look, you have people like you, Dr. Davidson, doing workshops of safety and consent. I just think we're so fortunate now to have all this information and be very well equipped. There's no reason why we shouldn't be equipped and be well-informed. Now, Dr. Davidson, I do have one last question. Do you have consent if you initiate sex and the other person doesn't stop you?
Not necessarily. And, you know, I understand why people might think that they have consent because we rely on the other person to communicate back to us to say, no, that's not okay. No, I'm not interested in that. But some people don't, because of their history, they don't feel safe saying no. Some people freeze when they are in a situation like that. And that freezing is just what they do to try to stay safe in that moment. And because they're not saying no or they're not pushing someone's hands away, it might be perceived as permission. But it's really important that we have these verbal discussions about sex so that we are very clear about what's being communicated through our nonverbal and verbal communication.
They're not sociable anymore. Technology has made us where there's like this fourth wall, there's like this third wall, there's a wall, whether it's your computer, your phone, and we're interacting in weird ways. Let's just be honest. We've all been there where we've kind of lost a little bit of that social skill and also being able to read a room or read body language. And it's really, really...
And let me add something else to this. Yes, there is information out there on safety and consent when it comes to sex. There is information on the internet, like the video that we talked about a few minutes ago using tea as a metaphor. A lot of people are not searching for that because they don't know that they should search for that. This is why sexuality education is so important. And it's maddening to me that we're not allowed to have sexuality education in this country. Because, you know, if math was not a required subject, how many people would be Googling it or trying to learn it?
Right.
We learned math in school because we had to learn it. And then later in life, we discovered, oh, this really is useful information. The same thing would be true about sex education. So just innately, when we're feeling horny, when we're feeling sexy, what we're likely to be searching for is pornography.
Right.
And pornography is designed to entertain. And so pornography does not have discussions about consent in it because, as we said earlier, the whole topic about what is safe and what isn't is not really a sexy subject.
It's not.
And so when you look for pornography, when you are kind of desiring sex or you're having sexual curiosity and you look at pornography, you're not seeing messages about consent. So it's really important that, education begins somewhere. We want it to begin at home, but the fact is it doesn't because our parents didn't get it and they don't know what to educate us about. And so we're really awkward with this subject right now of safety and consent, because quite frankly, we're kind of sexually illiterate in the U.S. We don't have a lot of the information that we really need to have to be able to begin to have this discussion in a way that's useful.
And you're absolutely right about that. And thank you for really coming on the show and talking about this. You know, let's just say I'm just a shy person. And, you know, a lot of people are extroverted, but let's talk about people who are not used to, let's say they're just getting into the dating, everything. They're just getting in, they're coming into their own shoes, I guess, or they're just starting to have sex and they're just not used to having the conversation or they're not vocal about it. There are individuals like this, that this is a very, very tough. And there's other people that it comes easy. They can just ask for it. Or, you know, as weird as the situation might be, what advice do you have for these individuals who, let's say, they're just not the vocal type?
Yeah. Well, you know, look for a consent workshop in your community. Look for adult sex education classes in your community where you can show up physically with other people or even virtually with other people and practice this. In some of the consent workshops that I've done, I have people practice scenarios, practice saying no, practice saying yes, and also practice negotiating. No, I don't want that with you, but I would be open to this with you instead. Sometimes people worry about saying no because they really like the other person.
Right.
And maybe they do want to spend time with that person, but they don't want to jump in to sexual activity from the beginning, or they don't want to participate in what's being offered in that moment. And so learning how to negotiate is important as well. So having opportunities to practice in a setting that is safe, that is really more educational or clinical kind of setting, so that when you really do meet someone out in the real world, you already have some experience on how to talk about this.
Thank you for that, because, you know, so much emphasis is put on, oh, but I like this person. You know, oh no, but I just don't want to. Oh, you know, I'm walking on eggshells. I don't want to do this. I don't want them to run away. I don't want this. You know, a lot of it is, there's this focus on this. There's this emphasis and this pressure on that alone. And it's, look, it's not cute. Let's just be honest. If you're putting so much, oh my God, I don't want to say no, because then they're going to, guess what? Then it wasn't meant to be. That person is not meant to be with you, honestly. Because the person that really likes you is going to be like, oh, whoa, you know what? I'm okay. I respect that. I respect your boundaries. Let's go in this direction, or let's have the conversation. But there is this, we lie to ourselves. I'm saying this because I've been in that position where a lot of us have been in that position, especially when we're younger, when we're dating and we're starting to go out and about. There is this pressure of like, oh, but I don't want to say no, oh, because of this and because of that. But then you can put yourself in terrible situations down the road, because guess what? By you saying yes that one time or consenting to it, that person that you're with is going to continuously think, oh, they're into it. Oh, you know what? They're into it. Yeah, I love it. And they're under the false assumption that that relationship, that this is a thing happening in the relationship. That happens a lot.
You know. And so because they did not have that very explicit discussion in the beginning, they went along with something that they didn't really want to participate in. Now it appears to be implicit. It appears that it's implied that I can initiate this with you at any time because you didn't give me any information that you weren't interested.
And this happens also in marriages. I mean, it's not exclusive to dating. And, you know, when you're dating, you still need consent in marriage. We know that, you know. I really want to just put that out there, because I want to say there's probably people who are married and they think that, oh, because we're married, we don't need safety and consent. What's all that about, you know?
Well, and, you know, in my work as a sex therapist working with a lot of couples, this comes up sometimes. there were things we did before we got married and you were completely fine with it. You were all on board with it. And then one day it's like, oh, I don't want this anymore. I don't like it. I've never enjoyed it.
Wow.
You know, you led me to believe that this was something that you were interested in before we got married. And now I've married you and discover that you don't really like this at all.
That I would hate to be in a position like that, Dr. Davidson, to be married and then find out that all along it's like a lie. It's like, what lie was I was living on? I was under, I was living a lie. You went along. Then it just changes the relationship. And I would rather be in a position where the safety and consent conversation happens and we're going into this with complete honesty. And we're at the end of the show here, but I really want to ask you, is your safety and consent course, is it available online?
Yeah, I'm happy to design these for people. But the best way to reach me is on my website, which is sexualintegritycoach.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for today. Dr. Davidson, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure as always.
All right, till next time. Bye.